Janie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi and welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show. I'm Janie Lee Grace and as you know, I like to cover just so many topics on this show. You know, nothing is off limits really. I like to cover a whole range of stuff. And I was really chuffed when I made the decision to talk about the menopause on the show. And I'm probably going to cover this topic across a few angles, you know, over the next few months, you know, just off and on, because as, you know, won't have escaped your notice that it's everywhere, really. And, you know, it's not just us gals it affects everyone, doesn't it, really? So I figured it would be a good topic to focus on. But rather than go straight for the conventional kind of approach, I've been thinking a lot about how we can bring in another angle for the whole menopause issue. So I think you're going to love my guest this week. So I'm going to leave you in, you know, leave you to enjoy this interview. It's kind of mind blowing. She really spins on its head some of the stuff that we've all been hearing recently. So enjoy the interview. My guest, and I'm determined to get her name right, is Danitza Appeline. Is that right? Did I do it?
Perfect, Janie. Thank you.
Good stuff. It's such a beautiful name. I absolutely love it. And I came across Danitza's work because I've been thinking, you know, an awful lot about the menopause. I mean, you know, why would you not? and I have seen just so much recently and in recent months about HRT and how, you know, there is HRT, every woman should be on HRT is a message that I'm hearing a lot. You know, even perhaps for perimenopause, you know, that women should from the age of kind of 40 be looking into HRT. You know, I'm not an expert in this area at all. I have covered HRT in my book in Happy, Healthy, Sober, because I think the menopause is, of course, hugely linked to people drinking and to people's well-being generally. But I got a couple of experts and doctors to share their perspective, because the truth of it was I didn't really feel qualified to share mine. So I do not feel I'm an expert. However, underpinning all of that has been this kind of sense that something didn't feel quite right to me about this approach that every woman should be on HRT. I am not on HRT. I never felt any need to go on it. But of course, I do want to be as well as I can be as I get older. So that brought me to your work, Danitza, because I saw a fabulous post that you put on social media. And I just thought, wow, I have got to find out your take on all of this, because it really feels aligned with a lot of my own views. So just tell me a bit about yourself first. I know you work as a homeopath and you're also an author.
Yes, that's right, Janie. And thank you very much for sharing all of that, because I think it's really timely to be having these conversations. I'm a homeopath, but I nearly became a pharmacist. I've always had an interest in medicine. I started working in a pharmacy at the age of 14, and I would shuffle sideways like a crab into the pharmacy because I wasn't interested in filling the shelves with shampoos and conditioners. And I was very, very lucky to work with a pharmacist who saw my passion for the drugs that were in the pharmacy. I wanted to know about them. And so he'd let me help with prescriptions and I would learn about the drugs. And I'd say to him, you know, what's this on the prescription? What's it do? What's this drug? And he would say, there's the book, have a look. So I was in effect paid to study. And by the time I was 16, I knew my way around a pharmacy, could tell you the indications and the contraindications of almost any drug in there. In fact, at the age of 16, spotted on a prescription two drugs that had been prescribed together that shouldn't have been. And the pharmacist was delighted that I could see that. And so I went to uni to study pharmacy, but I couldn't get through the exams. Went off and studied psychology instead. But my love of medicine never left me. And having come from such a strong science background, to me, homeopathy was the last bastion of sense. You know, I could understand how herbs could work. I was interested in herbal medicine. But to me, homeopathy was just a load of bunkum. And through three different situations that I found myself in where homeopathy was the only thing that worked and completely took me by surprise and showed me that it couldn't be a placebo, I then started to use it for a serious autoimmune condition that I was diagnosed with, and have found myself to a state of such great wellness that I decided to study it and practice it myself. And it's made me question how we view health. Mm. In all sorts of ways. And what I had taken to understand as being what health was and how we should look after our health has been completely turned on its head through my own experience of my own health and also others. And I think it's really healthy and true scientific thought to be questioning everything that we come across to find out, does that sound right to me? Does that feel right to me? Because we all have our own journey in terms of our health. We all have a route that's going to really work for us. Mm. But the choices we make do have an impact on others. And that was part of the post that I wrote that you had kind of really resonated with. We don't realize that what we do with our health has an impact not just on us, but on others. And so for me, there needs to be a greater dialogue around what are we taking? What are we thinking, you know, is going to support our health? And I've become really interested in drawing upon Eastern philosophies as well in terms of health and how they sit with our Western understanding. Mm. And I'm particularly interested in, you know, chakras and energy work and what that means in terms of our physical health, our emotional, mental, and as well our spiritual health too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as you say, it can't possibly be that one size fits all and the, you know, pill for every ill kind of thing, because, you know, the other thing that we really have to do is also follow the money chain, don't we? I mean, you know, let's face it, that there are, you know, sometimes very simple, natural, effective ways of dealing with illness, but that ain't going to make anyone any money. So, you know, so we have to be really careful that we're not taking a pill or whatever else treatment just to fund, you know, a big pharmaceutical company, when actually there's a plant or a herbal tea or a remedy or something that will do the job just as well. So, but of course, having said all of that, you know, I'm not, you know, being just a complete hippie and running to the hills and saying no one should ever take medication. I think I walk a really fine line between that kind of really thoroughly understanding that it is different strokes for different folks, right? I really do think that, which is why I've been so uncomfortable with all of this, with this current narrative that, well, certainly that's how I feel it's played out. I don't know if you would agree that in the media in the last sort of year or so. I mean, in a way, I'm glad that the menopause is being spoken about, because it has been taboo to talk about it for in years gone by, hasn't it? Really, we're not allowed to get older. You know, we're just meant to look exactly the same, and God forbid if you happen to, you know, not look quite the same, then for God's sake, get some good Photoshop done, you know. So I'm grateful that the menopause is being talked about, but I'm just really conscious that, well, I think, you know, if I was kind of, I don't know, 40 now or 45, the message to me would be, oh, don't wait and see what, you know, fresh hell might become you. Go get on the drugs now. And that really concerns me. I had my own experience of being on the contraceptive pill many years ago, which, you know, oh my God, there are some things in life I think it's okay to regret, and that's one of them. You know, what a stupid waste of my time that was. Terrible, terrible decision to go on the pill, which, you know, now when I think back, just completely disrupted my hormonal picture. And my personal opinion is that I think because I was on the pill, I had precancerous cells of the cervix. I'm convinced that's the reason. Of course, no one will ever know, but I'm convinced. And as you say, you do have to listen to your gut. That was a very long, not even question. So apologies. What's your view of the way menopause is being spoken about now?
Mm. Thank you, Janie. And thank you for sharing your experience. I too, like you, I took the pill for years. And after I stopped taking it, realised that actually something wasn't quite right. What it was doing for me wasn't quite right. And I speak to people all the time when I ask women, are you taking any medication in their reproductive years? Women don't say, oh, I'm
no, they say no, because they don't think of it. Yeah. Yeah.
We don't even think it's medication. But yet when you look at the side effects list in the patient information leaflet, it's clearly a medication. There are side effects. With HRT, it's not completely safe. There's an increased risk of breast cancer and of heart disease and of other conditions that gallbladder problems. It's not safe yet. We're being told it's completely safe.
Yeah, although on that note, I'm sure you're probably about to go on to it, but I know there'll be people screaming at the radio, yes, but I'm on the bioidentical hormones. So just tell us about those for a moment.
And those carry risks as well. They carry the same risks. So when you look at, again, the side effects, that just because it's bioavailable, it doesn't mean that those risks aren't there. And the issue with starting women on HRT at the age of 40 or 45, before those diseases like heart disease and cancer are going to show themselves, we don't know if there's a risk. So the side effects, the patient information leaflet will say, do not prescribe if there's a risk of. But if there's a risk of conditions we don't know if we've got yet. So we don't know if by taking it we're compounding something. But for me, there's something else that's much bigger in this, which is about us as women and our power.
Yeah.
So like you were saying, hurrah that we're starting to talk about the menopause, hurrah that we're starting to talk about getting older as women. In traditional tribal cultures, women who in their older years, they are considered to be the most amazing women there because of the wisdom.
It's wisdom, isn't it? Knowledge. Well, it's the crone phase, isn't it? Fabulous word.
Absolutely.
We become a crone. I'm good. I'm good with that.
Me too. And we used to be people who were revered to in community and looked to in communities. One of my favorite Disney films that I watch with my boy is Moana. And it's got such a great depiction for those who haven't seen it. It's a great film. It's got a wonderful depiction, sorry, of the grandmother, of her wisdom. But also what we do as grandmothers is we bring a bit of freedom with us. Like as parents, we're always worrying about what our kids are doing, but it's the grandparents who say, do you know what? Come and do this thing that your parents probably wouldn't let you do. And we give our kids freedom to explore in a way that really helps them to grow.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things. Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
So we're really needed in that place of being wise. But what the pill does and what synthetic hormones do, including bioavailable hormones do, is they literally stop our hormones. Now, our hormones, we understand from a physical perspective, to be communication messages that enable processes to happen in the body. But what they do from an energy level, and we are energetic beings, we are made of atoms. Atoms are 1% physical matter. The tiny nucleus in the middle of the atom is the only physical bit. The rest of it's space or energy. The electrons flowing around it are space or energy. So that means we are 1% physical and 99% space or energy. And we can now measure that. There are whole bodies that are measuring the energy field we have. And in that energy is our connection to something much greater. And what hormones do is they block our ability to communicate. Hormones, spiritually or energetically, they're our connection to each other, to the world, to the earth, to something much bigger than us. And so by taking something that blocks and suppresses our ability to connect with all of that, what we're doing is we're stopping ourselves from being truly connected, not just to ourselves, but to other people. And it stops us growing. And what that means in terms of our journey as women is it interrupts something that's very important that happens in our chakras. Now, our chakras are wheels of energy that we're taught about in the Sanskrit texts in India. And our seat of power when we're in our reproductive years is in what's called our sacral chakra, which sits below our belly button. And our sacral chakra is where we have our relationships. It's got the energy of our relationships, but also addictions. And what happens is in our menopause years, we then move our power from our sacral chakra up to our throat. So in our crown
year, we have our voice. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. This is when we start to lead. This is when we speak up, and we speak up on behalf of our whole community. Mm. And it is said that hot flushes are caused because we're feeling the heat of our energy center moving from our sacral chakra up to our throats. We're feeling that energy rising, that power rising. And what we're looking to do with taking drugs is to block that. Mm. And that means we're not stepping into our power and bringing change into the world that we're
here. Can I just interrupt for a second? So there are people who are going to be saying, well, where do you get that idea that the hormones are blocked? And two questions. Is this linked to, you know, the fact that we we talk about the energy here, just like we are attuned to moon energies, mm-hmm. as women. So that's how we can kind of sum that one up. That's how everyone can understand that, right, in a really simplistic way. Mm-hmm. But where would you get the information? Where would someone do further reading around this idea that would be blocked in any way? What mm-hmm. you know, people are going to say, well, why do you say that? Mm-hmm. Why do you say hormones are blocked? So that the energy patterns will be blocked?
So that's a really good question. One of the things I would say is there's some really great writers on chakras and on bringing together Eastern and Western knowledge about what they are and how they work. Anadia Judith, for example, is fantastic. In terms of us being blocked, it was something that I was taught when I was studying. And I applied that principle with patients. And so I do a lot of work to clear out the effects of the environmental influences that we have around us. And that includes synthetic hormones. And I am constantly in awe of what I experience and how much more connected people feel to themselves, how much more clearer they feel in terms of their thinking, their direction in life. There is this, it's designed to suppress. That's what it does. The pill and HRT, it stops a process. So it's automatically by design something that suppresses and controls.
Mm. So interestingly enough, just to interrupt there again a second, interestingly enough, that many of my clients will be, they'll be offered HRT and antidepressants. Mm. Which will also be doing exactly that. And by the way, they're not asked how much they're drinking, but we'll get onto that. But I'm guessing, you know, obviously the combination of these cocktail of drugs is what you're saying is going to end up doing the blocking.
Absolutely, Janie. And I feel exactly the same about antidepressants. And actually what that does ultimately is it just stops us from feeling. And actually, as women, when we look at the world around us, we should probably all be feeling rage.
Yeah.
There is a patriarchy to shift. And what better way to stop us from feeling rage and bringing the change that we have the power to bring in our older years, using our voice, using the freer time that we have because we're not bringing up our families, than to block and suppress and keep us in a place of not truly feeling every single thing we need to be able to feel in order to change the world.
Yeah, there are people that would argue, of course, just to argue the other side. The argument would be, you're absolutely right. We do need to come into our own, and women are living longer and being expected to, we expect to be in really good health and have masses of energy late into life. That's why HRT is needed, because we expect to live longer. So in other words, that would be the argument. Okay, so if you want to be doing everything you're doing, given that we're living longer, you're going to need estrogen as an example. You don't want to be putting your feet up at 70, and that's quite right. I definitely don't. So what do you say to that kind of argument?
There are plenty of really great alternatives, and HRT isn't the only option. And we're being, one of the things that I'm quite concerned about is it's being presented as though that we literally have two options. One, go through an uncomfortable menopause, or two, take HRT. And there is a whole world of other options available to us. And you're going to talk about alcohol. Alcohol is so important, as is sugar, in terms of the menopause. And I use homeopathy. I work with homeopathy and herbs. And there are such amazing options that it's not just this kind of one size for everybody. But there's another piece around this that I'm really interested in as well. What we take into our bodies, we pee out. So we know that there are synthetic hormones in the water.
God, yeah. Well, there's been all kinds of issues with the contraceptive pill and fish, hasn't there?
Exactly.
Fish changing sex is exactly the story that we read, isn't it?
Exactly that. So when we're taking those, we're peeing them out into the water. So our children and our babies are drinking the pill we're taking, the HRT we're taking. There is a collective effect of what we're doing individually on others around us. And so there's a question there for me around, well, that means it's not just that it's not entirely safe for us, it's that it's not entirely safe for everybody else either. And do we really want our babies and children to be drinking hormones, you know? So if that's the case, what are the other options? How do we make them easily accessible to people? A lot of these things do cost money. How do we make them free to those who can't afford them? How do we help everybody access a wide range of choices so they can find what suits them?
Again, I mean, we'll get onto some of those in a moment, but again, another argument would be, you know, to play the devil's advocate here, would be, well, you know, we do lose estrogen, our estrogen levels drop, and without enough, we are at risk of osteoporosis, you know, those kind of arguments. What would be your answer there?
Again, there are ways in which we can work with that. So homeopathically, when we're working with patients, we look at the whole picture. We don't treat individual conditions, we treat the whole person. So we're interested in looking at the whole picture. And the same is true of many different approaches to natural health. So we would be taking that into consideration in terms of what we prescribe to support the body, to ensure that that health is completely maintained through that.
I know I was talking to, I did an interview recently with Clive DeCarle, a fantastic health educator, who was telling me that in Japan, they didn't used to have a word for menopause. There was no word, there was no translation. And the reason, he said, is because they have so much seaweed in their diet, which is, you know, effectively they get so much iodine. And presumably other, you know, nutrients. So they just didn't have the symptoms.
And I would say that there's so much truth to that. I wrote that post and then I got a really great response from a friend who said, you know, she said, my friend from Uganda tells me that they just don't talk about it there either because it's not there. And then I started to think back to my ancestral roots and my grandmother, my name, Denica, it comes from Serbia. It's the name of the morning star or the morning phase of Venus. And it's a very old traditional name. And I was thinking back to my grandmother's generation and they lived so close to the earth. They didn't go through menopause symptoms. It wasn't anything anyone talked about, not because they experienced them and were ashamed. It just wasn't an issue.
And having said that, though, I'm guessing, you know, they would have had, you know, because if we look back, there are lots of things we can look back with the rose coloured specs. But there are some things that they did have better than us. I mean, the soil probably wouldn't have been as compromised for starters. So you are going to be getting more nutrients from your food. Right now, it's very difficult to get the nutrients we need from our food. And if we're, you know, massively stressed, which many people are, and we have anxiety and we're not sleeping well. And, you know, another thing from Clive's interview was the fact that loads of us are lacking in magnesium. So there's all these different little components. But if we do this kind of throwback to the olden days, probably they did have a few more nutrients around and their diet wasn't so crap.
I'd completely agree. And this is the invitation of menopause. It's to say, actually, what do I need to do to step into being the most powerful leader I can be, the most powerful crone I can be to my family, to my community? And what responsibility do I take myself in relation to that? What choices do I make around my food? So a biggie on that, I always say, is going organic. Glyphosate is an antibiotic, not just a weed killer. So it destroys our gut health, and we need a healthy gut to have healthy brain. function. So we know now that the vast majority of the serotonin we produce, or happy hormone, is produced in the gut, not in the brain. Yeah. So gut health is hugely important. Making sure that, again, looking at alcohol, you know, which is something you've talked about and talk about a lot, sugar, I really am a big believer that sugar and anything that's got that addictive tendency, we hold addiction in our sacral chakra. So yeah. If you're feeding the sacral chakra, that power in your sacral chakra cannot move. It gets stuck there. It can't move up to your throat. So dealing with all of that stuff that stops the power center moving up so we can lead. Mm-hmm. So it's an invitation. It's not, it's almost sold like it's some kind of curse, and it's not. It's an invitation to say, okay, I've done my journey. I've worked hard. And actually, we're allowed to rest more. Yeah. That's the other thing. Yeah. We're saying, hang on, you've just got to keep going at like 1,000 miles an hour and living like you've always lived. No, this is an invitation to learn to listen, to rest, to take time so that when you do speak, when you do step out into the world, when you lead, when you share your wisdom with others, that you do it from a rested place.
Mm. Where you I love that. I love that approach. I still know there's going to be loads of people shouting, yes, Danica, that's just great for you. However, you know, I've just got a new partner, you know, or I've remarried and I ain't got no libido and everything is kind of not working out. And surely just because I'm older, you know, I don't have to accept that, you know, I don't have a libido. There'll be those kinds of things being thrown at you. So how, you know, again, do you believe that all of that can be addressed and worked on with in a natural way?
Absolutely. And I would completely agree. Absolutely. We should be celebrating our relationships and still having great sex and all, you know, all of that. Absolutely. The menopause isn't saying that needs to stop. What it's inviting us to do is to say, what is it we love the most in our lives? How do we continue to do that? And what steps can we take to make sure we can? And there are some fantastic natural alternatives to HRT that will enable exactly that.
Give us an example.
Well, I work homeopathically. So it's really difficult to say, oh, there's this remedy or there's that remedy homeopathically, because we have a really big range of remedies to choose from, and we tailor what we prescribe based on an individual woman's needs and situation. But there are remedies specifically for that, for dryness, for libido, for working, or remedies that have those symptoms as part of their picture. And we just then match what the best remedies are based on the picture of the health of the whole person.
Mm. So what would you, if someone is thinking, you know, okay, well, I like this idea and I'm going to give it a go. Mm. What would be good for, what, give us a few tips that are beneficial for everyone. So you've mentioned organic food. Mm. Are there specific foods? I mean, we've heard a lot about, I forget the generic name of the foods, but things like endonami beans and those kinds of foods. Are they good in your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say we can get really caught up in the minutiae of, you know, am I doing the right thing here? Am I doing the right thing there? If we just, I think, we can make it complicated and then start to get stressed. It becomes an additional stress. So I'm a big believer in making it as easy as possible. Try to eat as much unprocessed organic food as you possibly can. If you can aim for a 90% diet that's unprocessed, cooked from home, when you go out and eat whatever you want, that kind of 10% of the time, your body will be able to process it. So allow yourself to just step back, take it a bit easy, but just eat healthily. Cut out sugar, definitely. And alcohol, of course, that's something that you talk about quite a lot, because those two things really do affect the menopause in terms of the glucose levels and the spikes. Exercise. Seeing people that we love, having great social support. One of the other things about the menopause that is talked about in more holistic circles is that if we haven't dealt with our emotional traumas by the time we reach menopause, the menopause will bring them up.
Yes, absolutely. This is what I always say. You know, we can do, you can get on, you can ditch the booze, you can do the work, you know, and actually accept that just being sober doesn't necessarily make your life fabulous. You've got to get on and do the work. Some things you're going to have to face, but you know what? You're going to be so much more resilient and do it with such clarity if you face it from a place of being sober. But if you choose not to do that, it will come and bite you on the bum anyway.
That's exactly it.
You're going to be feeling so much worse when you deal with it, right?
That's exactly it. And there's a freedom in that. There is such a freedom in saying, do you know what? However hard this thing that I have to walk through and sort out in my life is, if I do it, there is freedom on the other side of it. It will no longer be there like a shadow in my life, making me feel pain. And it's hard. It's the Dagobah system in Star Wars. You know, it's like the hero's journey. We all have something in our lives when we walk through it. It's the most painful thing imaginable. But if we do it and we walk through it, we are free. Mm. And if we haven't done that before the menopause, that's what the menopause will bring up. So that's also why there's this push to say, oh, I don't want to deal with the stress and the anxiety and the trauma that's coming up with menopause. But the reason it's coming up is because in order for us, again, to come back to leading, to being able to speak up on behalf of our families and our communities, in order to be the change that our world needs us to be as incredible, powerful, wise women.
Yeah, it's important, that word change, isn't it? We use that word change for the menopause, but we literally do have to be the change.
Yeah. And this is it. We have the experience. We have the wisdom. And what we need to do is to be free of the baggage that holds us back from doing it. Mm. So that's why it does come up in the menopause years. But again, I use homeopathy and herbs to work through deep, deep emotional pain with people. And that's some of actually my favorite work, is seeing the transformation, you know, seeing people literally, you know, in pieces and being able to give them something and to see them literally change. Shift through that. It's a remarkable thing.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
The station that makes you feel good.
I mean, I'm guessing that, you know, on a very basic level, you know, what you're saying is this is a natural phenomenon, right? We don't need to medicalize it, all right? It can be a completely natural phenomenon. Now, I'm guessing you would accept that with that might come some, you know, symptoms, in inverted commas, some changes that, you know, at least initially, we're probably not very comfortable with. You know, I'm not that comfortable, if I'm really 100% honest, with the kind of, you know, extra pounds I'm carrying around my middle. I'm not. That's the honest truth of it. But I'm absolutely not going to, I mean, part of me knows it's who I am now. I mean, I've had 4 children, for God's sake. It's okay, is what I'm trying to say. I can't agonize and be in the gym for 3 hours a day, because that's not natural either. Am I right or not?
Absolutely. And I'm taken back to, I was very lucky to spend my summers in Yugoslavia, being surrounded by grandmothers who were, and I hope they don't mind me saying this and won't turn in their graves as
pear-shaped.
I say it, but they were little round balls, just And, you know, but all we saw was how beautiful they were.
Yeah.
And the only reason we don't see that we're beautiful, even with the extra pounds, we've earned those. We've earned the lines we carry on our faces, which tell the stories of the lives we are living, the wisdom that we have gained. I've been trying, because I'm doing the same, you know, I've been gaining a bit of weight, and, you know, and I look at my pounds and I'm doing everything I can to love that and appreciate that in myself. And the lines on my face, which are beautifully disguised by the camera, and I don't know how, but if you were to see me much closer up, you know, I am showing my nearly 50 years. And it's a real time to celebrate the fact that we have grown. We are growing into our bodies. Yeah. We don't have to pretend anymore. We don't have to pretend to be, you know, kind of a size 8, you know, whatever, perfect. You know, it's okay that we're expanding into something a little bit bigger. And that might be physical, but it's a lot emotional, and it's a lot in terms of energy.
Yeah, I really believe that. And you know, when it comes to weight management anyway, so much of it is emotional. Absolutely it is. You know, how we feel about ourselves is a huge part of it, of course. And then, you know, again, just to come back to the kind of minutiae of this, because I know that people will be saying, but that's good for you, but I am having such terrible hot flushes that I, you know, get out the door and I'm drenched. And I, you know, I had a friend who kind of got as far as a, you know, the post office on the corner and had to come home and get changed. I mean, that's miserable, isn't it? So, you know, obviously I know you've mentioned homeopathy, you know, is there any good news for people who are really suffering symptoms like that? And is there anything that people who are, that women who are younger can do even ahead of time to ensure that they have the, you know, well, obviously ditch the booze and the sugar. Anything else that might support the transition a little easier?
So for women who are younger, if I start there first, Janie, I would say start that process now. Don't wait until the symptoms come later, because if you start the process now, then when it comes to the menopause for you, you will sail through it so much more easily.
Yeah. And when you say start the process, you mean eat healthily, ditch the booze, ditch the sugar, start to actually like yourself. How about that?
Yeah, I know, right? That's huge. And also do the work emotionally. Heal, look at all your life stuff that you need to shift and transform. And it will make the menopause so much easier. For women who, you know, who are experiencing, I see patients who, like you were describing, completely drenched in sweat, who've had to be changing their bed sheets three times in the night and getting absolutely no sleep because of it, you know, absolutely soaked to the bone. It is just part of what we work with in homeopathy, but homeopathy might not be for everybody. I happen to love it because what I've seen it do and what I see it do every day. But herbs are a great way of working. There are some really great herbs that are just lovely at balancing hormones. Herbs like ashwagandha and Siberian ginseng, which support the adrenals. Holy basil and astragalus support energy levels, but also Agnus castus is a great herb just for supporting hormones as well. So doing everything you can now. And if you're struggling, reach out and ask for help. And that's something we aren't very good at. We're still not very good at doing it.
No.
And it's okay that you're struggling with, well, it's not okay for you that you're struggling with it. And none of us would want anyone to struggle. But if you are, it's okay to reach out and tell someone else. It's okay. There's no shame in it. There's no shame in saying, I don't understand why I'm drenched all the time. And there are, there are other solutions. There are ways forward.
Yeah. And I guess what you're saying is, you know, we recognize that obviously it's good to work with a practitioner with these kinds of things, isn't it? You know, to get some, you know, really, really detailed nutritional advice, or work with a herbalist, or work with a homeopath, or whatever it might be, to get the supplements right, or to get the balances right. And I guess what you're saying is, how about if that were available, you know, more freely available for everyone, both the information and access to this stuff without having to spend a fortune? Maybe that's where some of the budget should be going.
And also, this is to me part of the patriarchy at work, because it's very difficult for people on low incomes to access this.
Yes.
And so there is this division. And it prevents what is absolutely crucial for everybody to be available to all. But there is something quite remarkable that's going on. And I don't know if you've heard of it, Janie, but there's a movement called the People's Health Alliance. And it was literally launched in April. So it's only been going for 2 months, and it's literally exploded. And it's basically a collective of conventionally trained medical practitioners. So doctors, paramedics, pharmacists, with natural health practitioners, creating local communities in their local area where everyone's coming together to find out how to provide healthcare locally in a way that's easily accessible for everybody, that supports everybody in the community. It's a remarkable piece of work that's just gone boom across the country.
Wow.
So there are hubs all over the country. It's really worth checking them out, People's Health Alliance. And it's about bringing everybody together, but they're not just stopping with health. It's not just about health. It's about, there are hubs that are, they're called hubs in the local mm-hmm. communities. They're talking about education.
Social prescribing and that kind of thing as well. Yeah,
absolutely. They're looking at education, how education happens locally. Also looking at food production and sharing. So, and looking at, I think there's kind of justice is coming into that as well. So there's a way, so there's a movement now of people who are trying to, who, and I'm part of that, people who practice doing things that we know make a difference to the lives of others that are only accessible traditionally to people who can pay for them. I mean, most of us see people also who aren't able to pay for them properly, but to make it accessible at a community level. So we all want to do that. We want to be able to help everybody who wants to receive the help that we can give. So we're in an interesting time right now, and it'll be interesting to see where we are in 6, 9, 12 months in terms of what's happening on the ground.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I have a friend who runs a charity, and she was saying that in the area she works, in the area the charity operates, she was going to be putting on a talk. She was asking if I would go and have a conversation with some of these women. And I think the area has a lot of ethnic minorities in the area. And she was saying that the reality is most of the women don't mention menopause. I mean, it's just not what they ever talk about. Mm-hmm. So they never rock up to doctors and mention anything, you know, about it. Now, one would hope that might be because they're sailing through it, but it might not. You know, it may just be that it has been taboo in cultures to talk about it. So I think, you know, more than anything, what's needed is more conversations like this about the fact that, yeah, there are other approaches. I mean, you know, Davina McCall and all the rest of it, they've really started the ball rolling, and they've done an amazing job talking about menopause. We now are perfectly cool to open up the newspaper and see a piece on the menopause. Everyone's cool about that now, and for it to be on the telly. But it's only the one narrative. So we now need so much more earlier, really. And I also think, you know, again, it's just my personal view, but I think there needs to be more talked about the contraceptive pill as well. So that young women have got a you know, perhaps they're just given a bit more information before they make that choice.
Absolutely. It's one of the things that I deeply regret in my life. Mm. I just didn't understand it at the time. I just was like, oh, you know, I didn't think even that it was medication.
Mm. I think it's really interesting. When I look back, I really get what you're saying. I don't think I'd ever kind of grasped it before, but I really get what you're saying, that the synthetic hormones can actually block you to the extent that your chakras are not open, as it were, that you're not able. I mean, there are going to be people listening just think this is totally woo-woo and ridiculous. But to me, it really kind of resonates. I really get that. I really get that during those years, I definitely felt, I'm not even sure what the word would be. It's a little bit like, I think it's a little bit like when you stop drinking, to be honest. When you stop drinking, and you've been drinking for years, you start to, after a little transition phase, you start to begin to know who you really are. You start to feel authentic, perhaps for the first time ever. And it's a very interesting feeling. And I think there may be something a little similar there, that the synthetic hormones are literally potentially dampening you a little bit.
I would say that's exactly the case. And that's what I'm seeing when I'm working with patients to clear the effects of synthetic hormones. That's what they're reporting. They're saying, actually, I feel like myself in a way I didn't realize I wasn't.
Yeah.
And there's a freedom and a connection that comes from that, and a power makes us more powerful.
Yeah. Amazing. So tell us where we can find you then for your work. And also tell us a bit about your book.
So my website is danicarapaline.co.uk, which is spelled D-A-N for November, I-C-A. And then my surname is A-P-O-L-L-I-N-E. And it's danicarapaline.co.uk. And my book, Nature's Medicine Code. So I've been fascinated by something called the golden spiral. It's a spiral that we find in literally everything in nature and in life. So the DNA has this particular spiral, and it's got a perfect mathematics to it that Pythagoras and Fibonacci, I explain about them, and it's got this perfect mathematics. But everything in nature has it. So the DNA has it. The way that our limbs unfurl, the symmetry of our faces, our ears, the way that plants unfurl, the way that tornadoes are formed, the way that currents flow in the oceans, even up to as far as the way that planets orbit each other through the solar system. There's this perfect geometric mathematical spiral. And also our chakras flow in that way. The blood, when it travels through our veins and arteries, flows in a spiral. It doesn't just flow in a straight line. It flows in this perfect spiral. So it's in everything in nature and in life. And I started to ask the question, well, if that's the natural flow of life, what do chemicals that are synthetic do to that? So I've got a theory that, and it's a theory, that what comes from nature that's undoctored, so organic foods and medicines, natural medicines, they have within them that same spiral. So when you put it into the body goes, oh, I know what that is. I recognize it by the spiral of life. And if you put something in the body that's synthetic, that's chemical, it doesn't have that spiral in it. It doesn't have that code almost.
Yeah.
And so the body goes, oh, I don't know what that is, and then tries to get rid of it. Mm. And I think that's what causes side effects. It's the body's way of trying to get rid of something it doesn't recognize because it doesn't have the spiral of life in it, the mathematics of life.
Yeah. And so that book's called Nature's Medicine Code.
Nature's Medicine Code.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Okay. I've got your website. Brilliant. I'll put all this in the show notes. It's fantastic to talk to you. You're definitely going to have to come back because I've got lots of more questions.
Thank you, Jenny. So, I'd love to.
Yeah. Come back and do a session for us. That would be amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Take care.
Thank you, Denisha, and I will see you same time for the next show. And at some point in the future, we'll cover the menopause again. We'll do it from a different angle. So if that one wasn't for you, we'll get a different expert in and we'll see what they have to say. One thing's for sure, you know, it's a bit like Marmite, right, this one. Not everyone agrees, but I think it's great to look at that holistic picture. And then, as I say, we'll get a different expert on at some point in the future. See you soon. You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.